All right. We're going to get started now. So Jason's going to continue his, he's getting set up here. I don't know if you guys knew, but Jason's kicking off the services this morning, so he's a little behind. So I wanted to go ahead and give us a chance to review just so we can think about what Jason's been talking about. What are the two main things he's been talking about on his boundary series? Can anybody tell me? You hitting cars, great. That it stuck, didn't it? It hurt. That's okay. You're gonna pay for that one. What are we talking about? Two things: fences and guardrails. Great. What's a fence? Keep something out or keep something in. And a guardrail? Warning, keeps you on track, right? That's great. So Jason's gonna continue that this morning. He's got another series on boundaries, and I'm gonna turn it over to him. Jason? Are you ready?
You weren't supposed to be that fast. You were supposed to keep talking.
Okay,
just
You're
give
good.
Me a second. Just
all right.
Just give me a
I'll
second.
I'll just leave it with you.
Thanks. Thanks. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. All right. We're good. All right. Let's kick things off. We are going to continue in our series on boundaries. But before we get into boundaries, a few weeks ago, I said something and some people questioned it, and you know, they kind of gave me a tough time about what I said, and they weren't sure if it was appropriate to say it at Homefront. And so I was really kind of upset, and I wasn't sure exactly how to respond to that until I heard this.
Paul is saying here that no matter what the meeting is, no matter where you are, the football team, the marketplace of life, wherever it is, things should mesh, whether they're talents in the world or giftedness in the church or your gifts being taken into the world, there should be a meshing, not a grinding, all right?
So I wasn't sure if you guys heard that. It's slightly out of context, I understand. But the truth holds true nonetheless. No grinding, meshing. No grinding, just meshing, okay? So just want to make sure that's clear going forward. All right, moving on. Sorry. Let me turn that off. Sorry. That's Mike calling to complain. Word travels that fast. Forgive me, Mike. Forgive me, Lord, if I'm totally out of context. So seriously, I was thinking about you guys this week around boundaries because I was actually, hold on. Sorry. Okay, turn that guy off. What was that? Do you guys feel that? You feel a little bit of that tension there? Do you feel like you have my attention, my undivided attention when I'm up here and there's all sorts of stuff going on? Do you feel like? Does your spouse ever feel like that with you? Does your spouse ever feel like they don't have your undivided attention when you're trying to talk to them, when you're trying to communicate with them? Are there a lot of distractions in your life? Things happening and that totally, you might be there physically, but you're not there emotionally, you're not there mentally, you're not with your spouse. You feel that tension? Did you feel like I was really here for you this morning, or did you feel like I was more here for the other stuff that was going on up here? That's what it feels like sometimes when we don't set up boundaries in the areas that we should. Hence our talk this morning. So last week, we talked about boundaries around time, and we said that there should be boundaries around time, and we should plan to have time. We talked about it being quantity. But then there's also this element that is just as important as quantity, and that's quality. And the distractions that we have in our life take away from the quality of the time that we have with the people around us. So let's start to unpack that this week. Are you distracted? Does your boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, husband, wife feel like that sometimes? And even, and we talked about this when Bill was here, there are going to be some of the topics that we get into that don't affect you at all. They don't apply because you already have those areas under control. There's going to be multiple topics that we talk about that you know that you need to do something. Sometimes, like Bill said, it's going to be a quick fix. Sometimes it's going to take some work. And sometimes it's going to be a continual work in progress. So where is the topic of distractions and technology in your life? And that's what we're going to focus on today. I wrote down a little list. Here's some things that I think of when I think of technology distractions. And even if you don't struggle with this area at all, I guarantee there's someone in your life that does. It may not be the person sitting next to you, but it might be the other couple at your table, the couple in your shepherd group, somebody in your neighborhood. You've seen people that are distracted, and therefore the quality of the time that they spend with folks is not what it should be. And some of these things might be in the way. Devices. Think of iPhones, iPads, smartphones, DVD players, Blu-rays, Kindles, on and on and on. I think of communication, the phone, email, the phone is old school, email's even becoming old school, texting, that's right in the prime right now, all the variations of texting, blogging, notifications, that sort of thing. Social media, I think of Facebook, I think of LinkedIn, I think of Tumblr, I think of blogs. I think of, in the home, movies. I think of games, and those are games that you own, and sometimes they're online games, games on your phone, or just online interactive games that you play through some sort of a device within your home. I think about all the apps that we have on here, all the little things that take away from our time, or at least lessen the quality of our time. I think about fantasy teams. I think about, I mean, it's cool to have a fantasy football team, right? Yeah, that's not a distraction at all. Thank you, Rex. Okay, so let me cross that one off. No distraction of fantasy teams. Thank you. And then we just have just the normal surfing and searching, right? We have just the desire to find something. You go on to find something specific. You need to look up a recipe, and then 45 minutes later, you had the recipe, but you've like gone down these little rabbit trails. You just wanted to find out when the last year that the Bills won a Super Bowl was. Never. But then you start looking it up, and next thing you know, it just, sorry, I know. Sorry, Rob. And you go to look that up, and then all of a sudden you go down these rabbit trails, and you're somewhere where you didn't even intend to be. And it happens. That's part of getting distracted and going off. And then, even beyond kind of the fun ones that I just listed, we often have the work distractions. So we say, "Oh, well, I'm not being distracted. I'm not wasting my time. I'm doing work. I'm being productive. That's why God created these things, so that I can come home early, but still finish up the stuff that would have kept me there till 7 o'clock. So I'm just gonna use this guy and get things done at night." So we say, "Oh, it's work email. Like that makes a difference when you're not paying any attention to the person that's across the table. But somehow that justifies it when we say it's something to do with work." So what do all of these distractions mean to us? And frankly, is it that big of a deal? I mean, does it really matter that we have these distractions? Does God even think it's a big deal? Does he say anything about it? About devices and distractions? So I looked up a bunch of words in my concordance. I looked up Facebook, LinkedIn, Google wasn't there. Looked up a bunch of words, and it had absolutely nothing to say. So I was starting to get a little bit depressed. But I did find job, and I thought it was just a misspelling, and it was supposed to be Steve Jobs. But then I went through that book, and there's nothing in there either about him. But there's quite a lot to say, and I turned to this verse first. Proverbs 12:2. You don't have to turn here. This isn't the important one, but I read this. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of evil devices he condemns. A little bit. Thank you. Thanks, John. It's not a man with evil devices. It's a man of evil devices. And my point to that, yes, it's a joke, but my point to that is that this and this are not evil. Okay, so let's make that clear up front. They are not evil. In fact, there are more people using, there's more people on the e-Bible right now than obviously ever there was, because it was never created. But there's the Bible is in more people's hands because of these devices than ever before. We can text verses to friends. We can keep in touch with people. We can use FaceTime, and we can keep in touch with our parents. If you, some of you maybe like us, you know, grandparents down in Florida, your kids would never see their faces, but now they do. FaceTime is awesome, right? Because we can have our kids communicate with their grandparents. So the devices aren't evil. That's not the problem. It's how we choose to use them that can become the problem. And on a more serious note, as we start looking into Proverbs, what does Proverbs have to say about our use of devices? So the first verse we're going to look at is a review from last week as the foundation for where we're going to go. Remember last week, you said, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Key phrase being making the best use of our time. And I said last week that time, again, is both quantity and quality. But as we look at the quality of the time that we spend with the people that God has put us in our lives, what does that look like? Here's what Proverbs says. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. Many times in the scriptures, we have this reference to agriculture, to farming, because that's what the people knew then. So the Bible, speaking to the Jews, the Jewish culture, and the Gentiles at the time of Christ, and before that, Proverbs being written many thousands of years before that. But at that time, agriculture was a big deal. So they used word pictures like this so that people understood that what was being said. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread. We think, duh, of course, if they plant something, they're going to have it. But it was broader than that. Again, this was just symbolic of saying, whatever the Lord has given you, if you use it wisely, you will have bread or you will receive good things because of that when you use your time wisely. But he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense, lacks wisdom, lacks insight, lacks the ability to make a wise choice. He who follows worthless pursuits. So I'm not saying, again, that these devices are evil. My question is, are some of the habits that we partake on these devices worthless pursuits? Are they worthless pursuits? I think more about what it is to be a Christian in the world today, what it is to be a follower of Christ. We're very quick to think, and you guys know me by now, or at least you're getting to know me, I'm a very black and white person. And when you have a black and white personality, it's easy to say, well, things are either bad or good. There is no in between. So we can say there are bad things that I can participate in, or there are good things that I participate in. Or put another way, there are bad things. If I'm not doing any bad things, therefore I'm doing well. The Bible would say it a little bit differently. The Bible would say, if you're not committing a sin, then you're doing okay. That's how we would translate. If you don't commit a sin, we talk about those as being sins of commission, things that we do. So the avoidance of evil, the avoidance of bad things, therefore makes us good. Not quite. Because the Bible talks about the flip side too. The Bible talks about there are sins of commission, the things that we do that we shouldn't be doing, but there are also sins of omission, things that we should be doing, but we neglect to do. I once heard an author put it this way, if we are Christians that only focus on the sins of commission, even if we do it 100% right, if we avoid all the bad things that we should be avoiding, we are a 50% Christian. We are a 50% follower of Christ. Because we're just avoiding the bad. But the picture that is painted for us by Christ is not just avoiding the bad, but running toward the good. That's the other 50%. So when the verse says, he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense, it's not saying he's in deep sin. He's just not doing the good things. It's not saying that he's indulging in all this bad. It's just saying that he's choosing to use his time on other things that by God's standards are worthless. So when we look back at the list that we just went over, are any of these worthless things? Are any of these worthless things? When we think about, we sit back, myself as a dad, well, I'm not cheating on my wife. I'm not surfing porn. I'm not stealing from the church. I'm not. But in the time that the Lord has given me, in the time that he's given me, am I doing the things that he desires for me to do as a husband? Let's look at just one. So when the Bible says that I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself, let's just look, most people recognize that common phrase, love my neighbor as myself. So that's a sin that I can, that I'm called to do. It's something proactive that I'm called to do. So when I look at the amount of time that I spend in my day around worthless pursuits, you only have, like we talked about last week, so much quantity. You only have 24 hours in the day. I only have 24 hours in the day. If the hours that I spend in the day are focused on worthless pursuits, how much time do I have left to love my neighbor? How much time do I have? Now let's bring it home, literally. How much time do I have left to love my spouse if my time is being spent elsewhere? Or if I'm there for her, but not really there, kind of there for her. I'm kind of there for him. I'm listening. I hear you. I'm just typing at the same time. I hear you. No, I'm with you. What kind of quality is that? We need to look up. We need to look up from here. We need to look up. When I was distracted at the beginning, you knew I wasn't with you. It wasn't until I said, nope, I'm yours. I'm here for you this morning. This is our time. I'm protective of our time. It wasn't until then did you know that I am here for you, because we need to look up. Check this out.
I have 422 friends, yet I'm lonely. I speak to all of them every day, yet none of them really know me. The problem I have sits in the spaces between looking into their eyes or at a name on a screen. I took a step back and opened my eyes. I looked around and realised that this media we call social is anything but when we open our computers and it's our doors we shut. All this technology we have, it's just an illusion. Community, companionship, a sense of inclusion. Yet when you step away from this device of delusion, you awaken to see a world of confusion. A world where we're slaves to the technology we mastered, where information gets sold by some rich, greedy bastard. A world of self-interest, self-image, self-promotion, where we all share our best bits but leave out the emotion. We're at our most happy with an experience we share, but is it the same if no one is there? Be there for your friends and they'll be there too, but no one will be if a group message will do. We edit and exaggerate, crave adulation. We pretend not to notice the social isolation. We put our words into order until our lives are glistening. We don't even know if anyone is listening. Being alone isn't the problem. Let me just emphasise, if you read a book, paint a picture, or do some exercise, you're being productive and present, not reserved and recluse. You're being awake and attentive and putting your time to good use. So when you're in public and you start to feel alone, put your hands behind your head, step away from the phone. You don't need to stare at your menu or at your contact list. Just talk to one another. Learn to coexist. I can't stand to hear the silence of a busy commuter train where no one wants to talk through the fear of looking insane. We're becoming unsocial. It no longer satisfies to engage with one another and look into someone's eyes. We're surrounded by children who, since they were born, have watched us living like robots and think it's the norm. It's not very likely you'll make world's greatest dad if you can't entertain a child without using an iPad. When I was a child, I'd never be home. Be out with my friends on our bikes, we would roam. I'd wear holes in my trainers and graze up my knees. We'd build our own clubhouse high up in the trees. Now the park's so quiet it gives me a chill. See no children outside and the swings hanging still. There's no skipping, no hopscotch, no church and no steeple. We're a generation of idiots, smartphones and dumb people. So look up from your phone, shut down the display. Take in your surroundings, make the most of today. Just one real connection is all it can take to show you the difference that being there can make. Be there in the moment that she gives you the look that you remember forever as when love overtook. The time she first holds your hand or first kiss your lips. The time you first disagree but still love her to bits. The time you don't have to tell hundreds of what you've just done because you want to share this moment with just this one. The time you'll sell your computer so you can buy a ring for the girl of your dreams who is now the real thing. The time you want to start a family and the moment when you first hold your little girl and get to fall in love again. The time she keeps you up at night and all you want is rest. And the time you wipe away the tears as your baby flees the nest. the time your baby girl returns with a boy for you to hold, and the time he calls you granddad and makes you feel real old. The time you take in all you've made just by giving life attention, and how you're glad you didn't waste it by looking down at some invention. The time you hold your wife's hand, sit down beside her bed, you tell her that you love her, lay a kiss upon her head. She then whispers to you quietly, as her heart gives a final beat, that she's lucky she got stopped by that lost boy in the street. But none of these times ever happened. You never had any of this. When you're too busy looking down, you don't see the chances you miss. So look up from your phone, shut down those displays. We have a finite existence, a set number of days. Don't waste your life getting caught in the net, as when the end comes, nothing's worse than regret. I'm guilty too of being part of this machine, this digital world we are heard but not seen, where we type as we talk and we read as we chat, where we spend hours together without making eye contact. So don't give in to a life where you follow the hype. Give people your love, don't give them your like. Disconnect from the need to be heard and defined. Go out into the world, leave distractions behind. Look up from your phone, shut down that display. Stop watching this video, live life the real way.
So this is where you have to forgive me for being sappy, because even a video like that gets me all choked up. So about 10 years ago, my dad was in town for a visit, and I was working for Adobe at the time. And, you know, you think about, sometimes you wonder as you get older if the words of the father really still impact you. But my dad came to visit, and we were talking, and he said, when did you become so distracted? Like, what happened to you since you moved down here? And I didn't know what to say to him, you know? And sorry, I don't know why that caught me. Is when I practiced it, it didn't come across like this at all. But we really have to think about the choices we make. I mean, how distracted are we in the culture in which we live? And my dad, you know, he didn't mean to hurt my feelings. He just wanted me to pay attention to him. And now he's almost 80, and you wonder if, you know, you could have that time back, and you can't. So where do we go from here? Sorry. Whew. Should practice this more with, like, a few people. So I look this awkward in front of, like, three people instead of. So we've been talking about fences and guardrails. So let's talk about a few examples of what fences and guardrails can look like around technology, protecting that time. Assuming now, based on last week, that we're giving the time, how do we protect that time with fences and guardrails? This is one of those things, we could do a whole series on this. I could stand up here for weeks and I felt that way with most weeks, how to cram it all into 1 week. But here's just a few device ideas for you, and I'm going to go through them quickly. Eye contact, making eye contact with somebody, having a turn-off time within your home, within your relationship. So if there's particular hours of the day when you turn off your devices and you commit that you're not going to be distracted, and that's TVs, everything. Have a device location. So within our home, we have like this little table in the living room where when it's time for meals, which we'll get to in a minute, or when it's turn off time, all the devices go there. So there's no temptation for it to go off or be distracting. It's kind of off on its own. So have a device location. I know some families have baskets and boxes and things like that, or drawers. Never use a device at mealtime. I mean, just throw that out right now. If you have your phone on you at your mealtime, I'm just telling you shouldn't. So never while driving. That's dangerous. No joke. I literally saw just like 4 days ago a guy FaceTiming while he was driving. Like, I'm not even kidding. He was like this, and like talking and driving. It was the scariest thing ever. But just make a rule for yourself that you're not going to that you're not going to text, you're not going to look, you're not going to check email while you're driving. I break it. I do have a rule in place. I break it sometimes, but you know, that, try to create a boundary around that. And even just talking on the phone, be careful how much time, particularly if kids are in the car. That's quality time with your kids. You have an undivided audience right there. So if you have kids in the car with you, make use of that time. Set time limits. There's an app called Nice Timer, which you can look in, you get in the Apple App Store. But just some sort of timer. So when you say, I'm going to go do research for this summer's family vacation, okay, how much time are you going to take to do that, babe? 1 hour. Really? 3 hours later when I come out, you know, because I just go off in all different directions. So set a timer to hold yourself accountable. We stress having date nights with your partner. Very, very important. Avoid movies. They're just mindless. They're just passive. Any passive activity, anytime you just sit there and just take in any passive activity, just avoid it. I'm not saying that movies are bad. Bridget and I will grab a good movie here and there, but if that's like your normal date night, you're missing out on so much. That's 2 hours where you could be investing in your partner. Your morning first look. Ask yourself the question, where do you look first in the morning? When you pop out of bed, what's the first thing do you think about? Do you think about, did anybody text me? Did anybody email? Because that shows where your actions show where your priorities are. So just think about that. When you're playing with your kids, don't look at your device. When your kids ask you to stop, or your spouse asks you to stop, if your spouse, if your girlfriend, if your boyfriend, if your fiance ever says, can you just put down the phone for a minute? Put down the phone. Don't say, I will in a few minutes, I got to finish something up. Put down the phone. Have deviceless days. So literally within your home, and this is with kids. By the way, if you want more kids stuff for you parents out there, come take one of the parenting classes. We're trying to build in just constant technology talks into the year, myself and Aaron and Mike. So just come to one of those events. I'm not going to focus on that here. But even as a couple, have deviceless days. Have days when you just shut everything off and go do something and don't have a distraction. And I know you'll say, okay, I'm a parent. I have to have the phone on. Okay, turn off all the sounds and notifications except one that is for your house. If you get a call from your house, then you'll respond. But anyone else is ignored. So that's the way around that. Turn off sounds. So I actually had to have Rex, where is he, Rex, where'd you go? Rex, turn on my sounds this morning because I don't even know how to do it. But turn off sound. So my phone only rings when it's a phone call, and it only vibrates for a text. So if I don't have it in my pocket, I don't even get text. So sometimes if you guys send me texts, I don't respond. It's not because I don't like you. It's because I'm ignoring my phone. I'm not ignoring you. I'm just ignoring my phone. So turn off sounds, because every little boop, yeah, like all that stuff, I mean, you're like Pavlov's dogs, right? I mean, you're just like an idiot, because every time your phone goes off, you run to check what it is. Your phone is running your life instead of you running the phone. Does the device own you, or do you own the device? So turn off sounds. This is a big one, actually. Turn off notifications. All the apps now have, particularly on the phone, have a lot of the apps have notifications. You know, when somebody, if you're in a game, when somebody's joined the game, all of this stuff. Do you want an update? All of that. All these notifications. It's not just because they want to. They're thinking about you. Okay, I know this is a surprise to you. Okay? They want you visiting their app because that's how they're generating revenue in some way, shape, or form. Minutes, advertising. Okay, so when you allow all these notifications, and every time you look at your phone, you have like 10 things to go through. Just turn off all the notifications so that you just get calls and emails and texts or whatever else makes the short list. But not that every little app is pinging you and dinging you and whatever. Okay, turn off notifications. And then finally, when all else fails, go nuclear. I mean, seriously, if this is a problem for you right now and you feel it, and we're going to ask you to ask your spouse, partner the hard question, if this is a big problem, go nuclear. Blow the thing up. And I don't mean throw it in the trash, but I'm saying make drastic changes to your life to adjust in this area. And if you have questions and you want to talk about that further, I'm happy to talk to you about it. Some of your other regional leaders are happy to talk to you about it. But make a nuclear decision to do something big. If this is a problem with your kids, it's the same thing I tell parents. Okay, so you haven't parented well around technology for 12 years. You can't make up for lost time, but you can go day forward, blow it up. Blow it up and start over, and then see what the results are. And sometimes you just have to do that. So what's the point to all this? Oh, sorry, I thought I had one more placeholder in there. Can you advance that for me? Somebody back there, Greg, Bobby, to bring it up to discussion questions. When Christ came to this earth, he came to bring you life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He came to bring you life. A distracted existence is not life. A breathing and having everything through a screen is not life. Life is living what he's given you. Life is a gift from him, starting now because of what he accomplished on the cross. That's the gift that he has for you. You have to ask yourself the hard question, is this taking away from my life, from my relationships? Is this impacting how I'm living? And then make changes, not because I told you so, not because the Bible says you have to, because it's the wise choice. It's the wise choice. That's the farmer that we're talking about there. The wise choice. Let's pray. Father, will you show us what kind of changes we need to make, Lord, to bring glory and honor to you, Lord? We don't want to be followers of Jesus that just avoid sin, Lord. We want to run toward the good things. And Lord, the devices aren't bad. The applications aren't bad. But Father, there's so many things that are just not wise. They're not the best use of time. They're not fruitful. Father, will you give us insight into what isn't fruitful so that we can make the appropriate changes, so that we can live the life that you died on the cross to give us? Father, will you do that so that we can honor you with our lives and so that people would see the goodness that you offer, the life that you offer? We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So some questions for you to answer. Oh, geez, I didn't know you guys advanced. Thank you. Do you control your devices or do they control you? Do you have any technology boundaries in place right now within your home? Are they fences or are they guardrails? And hopefully this is sinking in now when I'm using these expressions, fences or guardrails. Some of those ones from the list are fences. Some of them are guardrails. Are they working for you? In what areas do you need to implement a new boundary? And what is it, a fence or a guardrail? And then are any of the ideas this morning worthy of a try, the ones that we listed up there? So go ahead, talk at your tables, and enjoy the time. Thank you.